Morgan Malone, Chief Executive of the Analytics Institute of Ireland, and you're very welcome to our podcast series, Data Leaders. In these podcasts, I chat with some of the most important and influential people in the data analytics area in Ireland, and I try to find out a little bit about the people and personalities behind the careers. I also want to explore their philosophy in relation to data and analytics in general, and also find out a little bit about where they think the industry is going in the future. I hope you enjoy this series of interviews, and if you do, please subscribe below. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Analytics Institute Data Leaders Series podcast. I'm delighted to welcome John Donnelly, who's country manager for Oracle in Ireland, and I'm delighted to have John on board for this chat this afternoon. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Larkin. How are you?
I'm very good. Well, I'm as good as it can be expected in these times, John. They're weird and wonderful. But try to keep the spirits up, and certainly it hasn't been a time of rest. I haven't been able to work on my guitar skills or whatever. It's been a really busy time for me. How about yourselves?
Yeah, well, this is typically a busy time for everybody in Oracle because it's the end of our financial year. But what's remarkably positive about the whole thing is that everybody remains busy and customers remain engaged. But it's surreal, you know.
Are all your people working from home, John, or are you maintaining an office? No.
No. So the timeline of how it impacted us was broadly long. Prior to the Taoiseach's address, which I think was around March the 13th or so, we were mainly operating on a work from home basis. And basically, it was just if you were concerned about coming to the office, you could work from home. And if not, you could come in. Then on March the 15th, I think it was that weekend, our CEO, she issued a global work from home directive where unless you were a critical employee, then effectively you work from home. So at the moment, you know, all 130,000 plus of us, Larry and Safra down, are all cooped up in different places all around the world. And it's really interesting when you go on to calls. We're part of a region cluster, which is UK, Ireland, and Southern Europe, which is France, Italy, Spain, Portugal. And you can imagine how heavily impacted some of those regions have been ahead of us. Mm. And they are in, you know, and they are in lockdown, have been for, you know, quite some time now. And it's total lockdown. You know, it's not like ourselves where we've got 2 kilometres. So, no, we're all at home and we're all working, you know. But in a way, you know, for us that works quite well because prior to any of this coming about, as you can imagine, a company like Oracle, there'll be a huge amount of people who are mobile and on the move at any point in time. So, you know, the technology for us is very, very well embedded into what we do on a daily basis. You know, we would very regularly operate in virtual teams. You know, we've got collaboration tools like Slack and Zoom well embedded into our daily work routine. So it works fine. And, you know, what I'm seeing and talking to other people is that we're getting through so much more. We're getting through so much more in the day because you literally are on calls from, you don't have the only traffic is who you meet on the stairs. or what's at the bottom of the stairs waiting for you to trip over. But other than that, you're down, you know, cup of coffee, you're at your desk and away you go.
You know, it's remarkable. It's actually, it's quite intensive. I'm finding it quite demanding. I'm enjoying it, but it's demanding because you have all the time in the world in comparison to travel times to meetings or some of these meetings that we have that we think are very important, but we don't bother having when it comes down to it, you know? So I think in offices in general, there's kind of, in lots of offices, I don't know about Oracle, but there is a meeting culture while
when it comes to working from home, you get down to what's really important.
Correct. And you know, we need to be cognizant, obviously, that our primary focus at all times is on the health and well-being of our staff, you know.
Yeah,
so when you get into these uncharted territories of people, you know, working these hours, and what's strange too is that, you know, we have to be really, really careful that we don't default to everybody's at home, you know, people are online, can you hop on a call in the evening, this sort of stuff. You need to be really careful about not doing that, because you need to allow people time away from their work schedule to do what they got to do. So, you know, and we're all learning, Orca, we're all learning how to do this on a sort of prolonged basis, and, you know, remain positive, remain connected, you know.
I totally agree. What I find quite heartwarming is so many of these Zoom calls that I'm on, where people's kids are running around in the background or jumping on and pressing buttons on keyboards or whatever, and people are just getting on with it. They're ignoring it. You know, there's no standing on ceremony. Everybody's mucking in together. So there's a lovely collegiate sense to all of this, and that's a very positive thing. And obviously, there's a lot of people who are really suffering in these times.
But it's hard to conceptualize that when you're sitting here on a Thursday afternoon, the sun is shining, it's so quiet outside. It's hard to conceptualize actually what's happening, you know, in other parts of this country and further afield, and how it's impacting upon people. And you know, we're lucky to have the weather, because it makes it so much easier. I think also a big shout out needs to go to how the government and the HSE have dealt with the situation. You know, I think it's been a credit to them.
When they've handled it. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I wasn't expecting a lot, but I've been very surprised and pleased by, in general, how we've handled it, and we seem to have taken quite a significant leadership position, you know, international, in comparison to some of our international friends who I think have struggled under, you know, mixed messages from government or whatever. I think ours have been remarkably clear and concise in the messages that they've delivered so far. So it's been good stuff. John, just on that, seeing as we're talking about analytics and data, one of the things that strikes me is the role that analytics is playing and has to play in a situation like this. Has this struck you as well? I just think, you know, we're seeing a lot of predictive analytics. We're seeing a lot of analysis of infection rates. We're all becoming experts at plotting graphs. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you know, for organizations that value the data that they have and the insights they can get from that data, they probably don't, it doesn't have the same wow effect that other people who may not have put the same value on that prior to the crisis, where they're looking at going, so these guys that have been telling me that data is the new oil actually is correct, that you know, what value you can derive for your business from the data that you own, or what value you can drive for society or anything else for that matter from data that exists. It's really coming to the fore. Now, we've part of our business is in the health sciences and healthcare life sciences side, where, you know, we deal with data on behalf of large pharma and other organizations that run clinical trials and do all that sort of stuff. So, you know, we'd be well accustomed to the value that can be derived from those data sets. But for others, they may not be as such. And, you know, I think what's happening now is people are saying that we do need to be better prepared, and to be better prepared, you have to have some plan, and the plan may well involve how you gather, assimilate, and take value from the data that you've built up. So I think that may have a very long lasting impact on, you know, how people view the value of data going forward. I hope it does.
I hope it does too, John. I particularly on the health side, you know.
I hope it does. It's obviously core to what all of us care about. But more broadly speaking, it's important for society, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, could you tell me a little bit more about Oracle and the role of data in your organization? Maybe you could talk a little bit also about your own role in the organization and maybe then a little bit about Oracle's approach to analytics and what your company provides to your client base in analytics.
So Oracle, if I go local, Oracle in Ireland, we've been here for 32, 33 years. I have to check exactly to the day, but in around that time, we've been operating a presence here in Ireland. Our main offices are Dublin and Galway, and a presence in Belfast too. So we're your typical matrix crossing a business tech organization, and with all that brings. But we have our EMEA headquarters here in Dublin, and my role is to be the country leader for our operations here. So my day job would be that I run the sales organization that's focused on the Irish customers. Also, so essentially it's a little bit like. I'm sort of the franchise holder for what Oracle does here in Ireland,
Right.
I've been here for 16 plus years, or 66 quarters, depends how you count it.
Right, that's obviously embedded into your culture, John. Yeah, the quarters.
Sadly, and I don't know, so sadly we live our lives in 90-day windows.
Yes.
So we live our lives in 90-day windows. But so that's... that's what we do, and obviously people will know Oracle for different things, people know us for different. But prior to joining Oracle, I worked with some really great companies. I started off way back working with a company called Technicon, who became Bayer Diagnostics, based in Swords.
Yes, I know them. Yeah, I remember them. Yeah.
Spent a couple of years there. I then spent a couple of years working with Reuters News Agency on their customer side here in Dublin, and then a number of years working with ICL, later Fujitsu Services, and then joined Oracle, as I said, 66 plus quarters ago.
Yeah, so many people came out of ICL, didn't they? There's people I've known in the industry for 30 years now at this stage, and a lot of them spent some time, a lot of us spent, I didn't, but a lot of people spent some time in ICL in their careers at some stage.
It was one of those really, really solid technical companies that, as you say, a lot of people went through. It was a great couple of years I had there. I joined Oracle, as I said, that time back. I've been in sales, I've been in sales for practically most of my career, which spans quite a bit of time. I was at a meeting there recently inside in the office when I was talking about how long I was in sales, and actually I was in sales more years than some of the people in the room were on this planet. So it certainly makes you feel a little bit old. But when I started in the sales team, looking after the Irish market here, and after about 9 years or so, I took up an international role, and then later found my way into sales management, be for whatever that has brought me. But spent a couple of years working in the UK, and came back in 2015 and took up this current position as country leader in 2017. So, it's been good. The question you asked about Oracle and what we do and how it's relevant to analytics, it's a question that comes up. People ask what Oracle does. They ask me what Oracle, and my kids ask me, people outside the industry ask me. It sometimes can be a little bit difficult to explain. If somebody said, if you said you were a doctor or a solicitor, or you worked for any other number of companies where the brand is known across everywhere, then it's easy. But we are a B2B company. Deliver solutions for businesses that enable them to run their businesses at scale. So what that essentially means is that people don't typically interact with us on a daily basis, but we're there. We're underneath the covers of everything. Site you're on, social media platform, if you're accessing your bank details, if you're doing a if you're a telco provider, public service, whatever it is, we tend to be there. And from an analytics perspective, obviously, you know, we have grown from the database up. And the database is still our flagship product. It's still the product that we are most associated with. But what we have done over the years is engineered that product and built around it to create a data management platform that has, you know, in itself, you know, evolved into the area of then pushing analytics out to customers, either, you know, as something which they can consume themselves or consume through various applications.
Excellent. I suppose what's really important in what you're saying is that analytics is no longer just software. It's not just a database. It's not just methodology, but it's kind of a central business practice at this stage, isn't it? It's central to decision making. It's central to how an organization remains efficient and effective in servicing its clients. I mean, I'm passionate about the idea that I think analytics actually flows through every part of a business process at this stage.
It is, Lorcan. So, you know, I was thinking back prior to the call, when did I first encounter analytics? And I think I'm going to divulge how old I am here. I think back in 88, 89, when I worked in Technicon, I was working as a test technician, working in the QA department, because I did electronic engineering in college. I was working there. What I was doing was I was gathering fault data, handwritten fault reports, and inputting them into an Apple Macintosh onto a spreadsheet, which then back then we called it MI. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
MI, and it was paper reports.
Yeah.
So this was life changing for people in terms of the data you got from those reports. But you know, you literally had to print the full 100 pages, whatever it was, to get to the one page that that person wanted, and then everybody got the 100 pages, and they all looked for a different page. So it was sort of that's the way it was, you know. But analytics itself, as a technology, as a practice, as whatever you want to call it, it's important. It's important to us in Oracle, to me, because it's important to our customers.
We see it
as the key enabler for them to effect true digital transformation. You know, it's the key to improving their business performance.
That's exactly, John, where I was trying to. You said it much more succinctly than I did, but that's exactly what I think I'm trying to say. It's not just technology sitting outside there doing some fancy stuff without being central to the business. In other words, if it's not driving change, if it's not creating value, if it's not doing something to make the customer, the organization more competitive, if it's not doing that, it's a waste of time. I see a lot of tech for tech's sake in this job, you know, and I think it's always very important that organizations remember that it's actually there to deliver value, and if it's not delivering value, then it's redundant.
Yeah, and I mean, our mission statement itself speaks to that, you know. So what we say is that our mission is to, you know, effectively enable, help, I'm going to call it, people to see their data in different ways, you know, to discover insights and, you know, to unlock whatever possibilities there are within that data. So, you know, data for data's sake, tech for tech's sake, the two don't live on their own. They've got to they've got to converge, you know. So,
and John, what's your view and what's Oracle's views on the kind of emerging technologies, AI, and I know I say they're emerging, they've been around a good while now, but they certainly are tripping off the tongue much more readily over the last couple of years, like artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things. Is Oracle involved? Are you selling these technologies? Do you see a growth in that area?
Yeah, we do, absolutely. I mean, you know, how they get exposed to people? Are they exposed as unique services, or are they exposed to people through in some other way of access? And what I mean by that is, you know, the technology exists, and I think everybody is struggling to find, and in some cases, gone beyond struggling, and and are now using those technologies to good effect. But, you know, do you access them directly as a program, or do you access them through an application or a reporting tool that exists within an application? For us, you know, we've had advanced analytics in our database technology for 20 plus years, you know, to evolve that. But it has been a product that's sort of been there, and some people have used it, and not a lot. And it's but what we see is, you know, we're now using machine language and AI technologies across our business in a whole host of ways, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we would have it embedded into a lot of our core technology products, but we'd also have it embedded into the process flow that exists within our applications. So as people, you know, it's learning as people, you know, roll out and adapt these applications to effectively to help them get through certain processes without having to always sort of revert to type and follow the norm. But it's key, and you know, for us it's something that, you know, we've built a lot of our technologies around.
Yeah, I think obviously I think it's important to say that the less visible it is, maybe the more effective it is. You know, if you're obviously seeing art of AI in action, maybe it's not as seamless as it should be. It should be operating in the background and delivering value without necessarily being in your face. Yeah.
And we use it ourselves, you know. So we're your classic, you know, drink our own champagne, our own dog food, whatever you want to call it, depends on what day of the week it is. But we, you know, we use analytics in every part of our business.
Excellent.
You know,
excellent.
If it's in sales, pipeline, funnel management, talent, people management, you know, CX, you know, all those different areas that we would use it in.
Very good. John, we're coming towards the end of our time. I'd just like to talk a little bit about the future, perhaps. First thing, maybe if you have a view on Oracle's recovery from the COVID-19 situation, how do you view that moving forward? Do you think things are going to change permanently? Do you think that you'll be back to normal? Will there be a hybrid? How's Oracle looking at this?
Yeah, so as I said at the outset, Lorcan, we are all working remotely. We are now starting the early stages of our plans to return to the offices, albeit we'll be guided by whatever the government and the HSE say here, and equally so by whatever corporately the decision is taken. But I think what we're going to see is more people willing to work remotely, and people being able to do their jobs equally as well when remote, as opposed to always have to be present in the office. You know, now you can't do without this human interaction that people get from being parts of teams and working together. So there's always going to be that collaboration requirement there. But, you know, I think we will see a different world emerge at the end of this in terms of how people carry on their normal daily routines. I know I'm a bit of a creature of habit. I tend to go to the office, but I might change that when it's all over. You know?
Yeah. I think one thing that will have to still emerge is better technology around this. I mean, it's been remarkably good. It's been great. We've all been able to hop on Zoom and continue our work, and in some cases, maybe even improve on it using the tech. But I still think there's room, isn't there, for improvement on just the stability on these tech, the security of it, and the utility of some of the technology. I think we're only at the outset of this.
Yeah, but you know, it's remarkable how well everything has stood up because it turned on so quickly.
Yeah, no, it has. I've been so amazed by how organizations that you would think would be hard to move, you know, like liners, with a very wide turning circle. But in fact, in the vast majority of cases, people have been extremely agile and reactive very well. And have kept the focus on delivering customer value, which is fantastic. John, thank you very much for spending some time with me today.
No problem at all.
Very interesting conversation. I wish you well. I wish all your colleagues in Oracle well. And really looking forward to the day we'll be able to have a pint together at the end of all this.
I do miss that.
Well, I do too myself. So, John, thank you very much. And I wish you every success as we come out of this.
Okay. Thanks, all. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more from other data leaders, please subscribe below.